This morning, I want to share a kind of a mini sermon with you. I want to talk about the four types of grace and how they work in our lives. So I'm going to talk a little Wesleyan theology, using a little Wesleyan terminology. But I'm going to give you some visual image to kind of make it come home, make it understandable for you. And I'm also going to share some testimonies of people who spent some time in prison and discovered God's grace in their lives. So the first term I want you all to know is prevenient grace. This is a Wesleyan term. It means the grace that comes before. Well, before what? It comes before salvation, before you know Christ as Savior. Because we believe in our humanness, we are really totally deprived, right? We are depraved, we are selfish, we are broken. However, even though we are totally selfish and broken, we still believe that to some degree, people can do some good things. Do some good works. Well, we believe that is Christ's grace that comes before salvation. John 1:9 helps us with this. It says, it states the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Which means God can and does work to some degree in everyone's life, regardless of their faith, regardless of their belief. It is this prevenient grace that even draws us towards Christ, that makes it possible for us to want to accept Him as our Savior. Because Christ's grace is always wooing us and drawing us toward to Him, even though we have to make that choice. When we look back at our lives, even when we were far away from God, we can often see God's prevenient grace working in those times. So, prevenient grace. Now, the image I like to use for prevenient grace is a house that you walk by every day. Maybe on your way to work, maybe out for a walk. Oh boy, that house looks nice. And it has a nice porch on the house. It has nice flowers in the yard. You even smell good food coming from the window. And there's a sign on the outside of the house that you read, and it says, "Broken people welcome." You're curious about that sign, this beautiful house. But you have things to do, you have people to see, you got your life pretty much under control, so you're good to go, right? Well, the next stage Wesley calls convicting grace. This comes when you can't really live the way you want to live anymore. You can't find what you're looking for. Your life starts to fall apart. You're not in control. The sin is basically controlling you. You want to change, but you can't because you're powerless over this sin nature that is ruling your life. So the visual image that I have for this is the porch of that house. Finally, one day, you get sick and tired of your life, and you walk up to the porch, and you read that sign, and you stand there, and you think, broken people, welcome. You've got a decision to make, but you are convicted that that's where you should be. The third stage is called justifying grace. So you're back on the porch, or maybe you've never left, or maybe you've gone home and you've come back and you've gone back on the porch again. And maybe you have enough courage this time, or maybe just enough desperation to knock on that door. And so you knock on the door and someone comes to the door and opens that door. And justifying grace is the moment when you cross the threshold. Notice how I said cross the threshold? Jesus says, knock and the door will be open to you. Is that moment when we feel accepted as we are in our sin, when we feel Christ's love come over us just for who we are, just not for what we do, but just for who we are. We feel Christ's love. It doesn't mean God doesn't see your sin anymore, but He does pardon that sin. At this time, you're invited to come in, and He invites you to wash up before dinner. I think that's what baptism is. You found faith, you found justifying grace and God's love in your life, and then baptism is, okay, now I got to just signify that outward, that inward cleanliness by my outward. Okay? The symbolic of leaving that dirtiness of your old life behind. And the fourth and last stage is called sanctifying grace. I'm going to preach more on that sermon next week because it's usually the most confusing of the four. But it's this point when you get in the house that you are invited to every room in the house. You're invited to everything in the kitchen, which is the most important room in the house, right? You'd open up the refrigerator, take what you want. You know, you get to prepare the banquet and eat all the great food. Now, even though this is a joyous time, it's also the place where the starting of the great work in your life begins. Because you're starting to learn how to please God. This work is just the beginning of your life. Sanctifying grace. I want to share a few stories. I'm going to point out the different parts of grace in their life. Someone just recently gave me a book from Testimonies from Prison Fellowship, and I just kind of thought, okay. But it's got some good stories in it. So the first guy, keep in mind that every story has a different length of stage. So some spend more time in sanctifying grace, some spend more time in justifying, and just everybody's different. George Garcia spent his whole young life in and out of juvenile hall or prison. But he had this guy in his life that would always ask him whenever George was out of prison or whatever, say, hey, go to church with me, George, let's go to church. In fact, the guy was relentless. It was his only topic. George, let's go to church. George was pretty frustrated with this guy, but eventually one day, George was pretty frustrated with his life, said, okay, I'll go to church with you, let's go. He planned on only staying 3 or 4 minutes, but something happened. God touched his heart. He knew something was special was going on, but when he left the church, he didn't change his life for 12 more years. He'd experienced prevenient grace in his life. Okay? That church service was prevenient grace. So he saw the house, but he didn't go any further. And it took 12 more years of prison life and a wife who wanted a divorce to get him back to that church, or in our analogy, back to that house. He had finally got to a place where he experienced convicting grace after 12 years of prison. And he accepted Jesus at church that day and experienced justifying grace, that same church he went to. And George went up on the porch and he knocked on the door and he walked right in. And George didn't stop there because God began to open new doors for him. He got involved in prison fellowship and now helps inmates discover Jesus. The process has been God's sanctifying grace working in George's life as he discovers all the rooms of God's big, big house. There's a song a few years ago by Ollie Adrillin called The Big, Big House God Wants to Show You About. So the next guy is Joe Avila. So Joe Avila was more of the average guy. He had a family, everything. Some point, though, after college, Joe became an alcoholic. It was beyond his control, actually. And then one day, while driving drunk, he killed a 17-year-old girl named Amy. And Joe went to prison for 12 years. And Joe, in his desperation, got involved with Angel Tree to help provide something for his kids. And God started using this Angel Tree as prevenient grace in his life. And Joe's guilt over killing Amy brought him quickly to a place of convicting grace that he needed Christ. And he accepted Christ as his Savior and experienced justifying grace. You could say he went running to the house, up on the porch. He got involved in prison fellowship. God quickly moved into the house, justifying grace. Finally, he was paroled, and he was asked to tell a story on a radio program. At that minute, he was telling a story over the airwaves, and Amy's father was driving in a car trying to find a basketball game, but got Joe's story instead. Amy's father shared this with his son, Amy's brother, and they both decided to meet with Joe. And after hearing his story, they both forgave him for killing Amy. In fact, at the end of the conversation, Amy's dad told him that he loved him. Can you imagine? Killing someone's daughter, even if it was by accident, killing someone's daughter and having her father tell you he loved you? Only God's grace. Only God can do this. And this act of sanctifying grace in all his life and all the changes he was able to encounter and do because of this. And Amy's father and Amy's brother and Joe were experiencing all of God's house together. One more story. Worship team, you can come forward anytime. One more story. Roy Yamamoto, sentenced to 80 years in prison. Well, that bring you to convicting grace, right? Real quickly, right? And he cried out right away to God, "Oh God, I'm not going to make it in this prison for 80 years. But he had a roommate who attended a Bible study in prison, and the roommate invited him along. Prevenient grace, bringing him to a point already. So he was already brought up to look at the house, and Roy accepted Christ at that Bible study and experienced justifying grace. Roy entered the house. Roy began growing in the Word, heard that nothing was impossible to God, and so he prayed a very bold prayer. He said, "Oh Lord, bring me a Christian judge. Nothing is impossible with you." So he prayed for a miracle and he went to court. And when he heard that the hearing began, the judge said Roy's victim didn't show up. So the judge was going to give him back his freedom. A couple weeks out of prison, he went to the first church he could find. And this guy came up to him and he shared his testimony. And then he looked familiar and it finally hit home. This was the judge who set him free. Roy explained who he was and how thankful he was to the judge. The judge replied, "Roy, I became a Christian right before you went to court." God worked in two lives, sanctifying grace. They both got to enjoy God's house. Now I realize not all of us spend time in prison, and these are dramatic stories, but we all find our own bars, don't we? We all put our places behind those prison walls in some way or another. But we can discover God's grace. All four types of God's grace in our life. And discover God's house. What a glorious place it is to be.